Two parts to our elbow session today on the World Cafe. Later on, we will hear portions of a live concert recorded at the Paradiso in Amsterdam. But first, I talk with the personable lead singer of the band, Guy Garvey. Elbow is a band from Manchester, England that has called their sound prog without the solos, referring to the progressive rock of primarily British bands from back in the day like Yes and Genesis. The band was nominated for a Mercury Prize in the UK for their first album back in 2001, and lo and behold, they finally won one in 2008 for their latest album, The Seldom Seen Kid. It's their fourth. The Mercury Prize is quite an honor. The best albums of the year in many genres are nominated. This year's nominees included Radiohead, Adele, and Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. With that kind of competition, I asked Guy Garvey, lead singer of the band, if when they went to the ceremony, they just assumed they didn't have a chance.
And that's an understatement. I thoroughly convinced myself that it wasn't going to happen. Not in a negative way, just I really thought it would go to somebody else because we'd been nominated before and because, I don't know, 100 reasons. I had £10 on Radiohead winning.
Did you?
Yeah.
Now, I know you do a radio show, and who did you predict on your radio show?
Well, funnily enough, I mean, this for the first time, it was probably the first time I owned most of the records on the shortlist for the Mercury prior to it taking place. So Laura Marling or Rachel Unthank in the Winter Set or Radiohead the British Sea Power record or the Last Shadow Puppets. I would have been very happy for any of those to win.
Well, we're talking with you from Manchester, and I wanted to kind of talk about Elbow's kind of place in the musical universe. I read something that it was only recently that you were watching something a documentary about progressive rock, and you realized that is sort of where you guys fit. Where do you fit in the whole history of music from Manchester? Do you think about that?
Sure, yeah. I'd say that a lot of the themes that I've ended up tackling lyrically, which it's never been a conscious thing, what shall I write about now? I've always written what's on my mind and then picked through it when it was time to make a song. Danny Boyle, the film director, said that the further north you get, the grimmer the sense of humour gets. And Morrissey and the Smiths were always called quite miserable, but I see thick, dark Manchester humour in all of his lyrics. I actually think he's Oscar Wilde kind of funny in the way that he works. There's little odds and ends of that, obviously not to that level, but odds and ends of that kind of dark humour in my lyrics. But musically, we could sit anywhere near Doves. You could sort of trace our lineage back to the Joy Division stuff. And the Stone Roses was just so huge. There's a little local sort of thing I've noticed. If you come from Liverpool, which is only 20 miles away from Manchester, and you join a band, you get a Rickenbacker guitar and you play it clean and jangly. Whereas if you're from Manchester, you get a Strat, you get a Fender Stratocaster, you stick it through a wah-wah pedal and you hit it. And, that kind of thing was true of us. Mark didn't do anything apart from playing rhythm wah for quite a long time. And I suppose it was quite a strange thing. It was a big thing for us growing up that the Stone Roses had been in exile, if you like, with all the national press baying for them to return for 6 or 7 years between their first and the second album. And they turned up in our hometown of Bury, which is a really small town in the middle of nowhere. And it was kind of a revelation, that they were in our hometown. I'm sure it had something to do with spurring us on. Because when they did show up, we saw them walking down the street. The first I heard that they were in town was Mark, the guitarist in Elbow, said that he delivered a pizza to the Stone Roses in our local studio and nobody would believe him. And I actually came on his rounds with him the following night and saw the Stone Roses in this little hut called Square One Studios in Bury. And that was huge, That made the idea of being in a band and the idea of pursuing music as a career, it made it more attainable, more tangible, I suppose.
Was any of the music in sort of the progressive rock pantheon important to you guys, or is this?
Oh, hugely!
Hugely.
Well, Yes, we're hugely important. In fact, I remember when we first formed when I was 16 or 17. Very flattering, but Mark, the guitarist in Elbow, told me that he didn't have enough records and he'd just been paid, and would I take him out vinyl shopping, which is such a compliment for a friend to give you. So I took him out and I bought him everything from Supertramp to The Doors to 10cc to Beatles records he didn't own to odds and ends of Joni Mitchell and Kate Bush. But it was the Yes record where we settled first, you know, just I guess at that point we were learning how to play our instruments. And the faster the better, the more technically proficient the better, like young lads do.
I think a lot of that, you're right, you speak absolutely the truth of how bands form in that way. Elbow is definitely an album band in an MP3 world. And I was kind of wondering, as such, when you set to do a new album, can you point to things that are inspirations? What about an inspiration specifically for Seldom Seen Kid?
A number of things. I suppose specifically the title refers to our friend Brian Glancy, who died while we were making the album, far too young, very tragically. And it was a way of dedicating the album to our friend without it being obviously an album about death, because it isn't. Two of the members of the band had children in the last 2.5 years as well, and I fell in love. And we got a new record label and lots of great things happened. But by and large, this period of all of our lives will be marked by around the time that Brian died, because it was huge, you know. It threw up some questions which, when I answered them, changed the way I feel about certain things, you know. Made me appreciate quite how important my friendships are to me. Things like that.
Well, Grounds for Divorce certainly seems to be the song that is dedicated to Brian in a big way, and mm-hmm. and I guess it was written when you were dealing with his death.
It's a funny one. I haven't met anybody who, at some point or another, wouldn't want to leave their life behind, even for a few days. And I have a love affair with Manchester that goes on for years, years and years. I can't imagine living anywhere else, and I'm very, very proud to be from here. But after Brian died, the way that people reacted in Manchester around me, because he was an incredibly influential popular figure, and the fact that I went drinking a little bit too much in a local bar, I wanted to get out of there, and I guess that's what the song's about.
And this is Grounds for Divorce.
There's a hole in my neighborhood down which of late I cannot help but fall. There's a hole in my neighborhood down which of late I cannot help but fall.
We're talking with Guy Garvey of Oboe about the Seldom Seen Kid, the Mercury Prize winning album, and that is Grounds for Divorce. And as we mentioned, a song that has a lot to do with his friend Brian Glancy and his passing, and I guess Guy's reaction to that. There's a lot of personal things in this song. Does your falling in love figure in lyrically?
Perhaps not in Grounds for Divorce, but it's certainly all over the record. Yeah, probably there's two songs with very similar themes, although they're very different songs. Both Mirrorball and One Day Like This are about the well, two things happened when I fell in love. I mean, obviously there is these incredible feelings towards a girl that I've known for a long, long time, and also my faith in love being affirmed, you know, sort of realizing that you can feel that way again will take years off anybody, as you know, it's a cliche in that, but it does make you feel a lot younger and springier, which I could do with. but yeah, the record shot through with references to Emma, my sweetheart.
Was your faith in love on the rocks, on the ropes there for a while?
If you've been long enough without those kind of teenage squiggly feelings, then you start to doubt that they're going to happen again. But I'm kind of a little bit flighty like that anyway. You know, if something doesn't happen for long enough, the memory of it starts to fade. Then I start to wonder if it ever happened.
Indeed.
And it'd been, well, I've never felt like this before, if I'm honest.
Well, let's play Mirrorball. This is Mirrorball from the Seldom Seen Kid, and we're talking with Guy Garvey from Elbow.
everything has changed.
Mirror Ball, and that is from The Seldom Seen Kid, and we're talking with Guy Garvey, who writes the lyrics. Although the band is described as a democracy, and how does that play itself out?
We've got five very gentlemanly but very forceful characters in Elbow who've known each other, the vast majority of them, since they were toddlers. I've known them since we were all 16. Decisions are made because the majority of us want them to happen most of the time. It depends. It's not a hard and true... It's not like every decision goes to the vote that we make. If somebody's really passionate about something and the others recognise that, then they'll be trusted with their instinct. But it takes a long time to write songs because all five of us have to be happy every step of the way. It can be quite grueling.
Yeah, how do arrangements come up? Do you work a song a lot, and then do you ever go back to old ideas, or is it always a growth process?
No, sure, we go back to old ideas all the time. We'd had three or four runs at Grounds for Divorce in different guises over the past 5 or 6 years before we arrived at what we released. And old lyrics make it through decades sometimes. I still, there's lines in Audience with the Pope that I wrote when I was 13.
Really?
Plucked them out of there and put them in a different context, you know. It's quite interesting. I don't know if you know anyone who's a diarist. I'm not a fanatical daily diarist, but I've kept journals since I was 12. And you very quickly realise how your mindset changes, how quickly it changes if you do that. From year to year, it feels like a different person writing when you're reading back your stuff. So it's quite useful for that.
And that must kind of free you up to make the changes, though, to realize that you never were really stuck in any one thing.
It does. I'd recommend it to anyone. I really don't know how people get on that aren't in a band, because I've never done anything else. But it really gives me, I like to think, it gives me a little bit of objectivity looking back through my journals and listening to recordings we made 15 years ago, and makes me think, you know, so if things are feeling stagnant, as they did quite a lot over the 2.5 years we were making this last record, then it's very simple to look back and sort of realise that you've come a long way in many ways.
Well, tell you what, let's listen to An Audience with the Pope. I would have suggested this might have been one you might have written for Graham as well, but
yeah, it is actually. But yeah. The sort of, she's not comfortable with the amount of innuendo in it.
There you go. So we won't tell her. Okay, this is An Audience with the Pope.
Sweet Jesus, I'm on fire. She has the sweetest, darkest side, and when it comes into her eyes, I know iron and steel couldn't hold me. Good God, I'm easy bruised, but so often a moth to her flame.
Audience with the Pope, a track from the latest Elbow album, the Mercury Prize-winning Seldom Seen Kid. Coming up, it's a live concert with the band from Amsterdam's Paradiso when we get back here to the World Cafe.